And we're going to pray together. Heavenly Father, we dare to believe that you will speak to us if our ears are unstopped and our hearts are open to you. We come expectantly, Lord, and if right now we need to agree with ourselves that that's what we're going to do, that's what we are going to do. We want to hear from you by your Holy Spirit. And we can't do that if we allow our minds to wander. So we bring them to you and ask that you would speak to heart and mind in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're living in a time of information explosion. You don't need me to tell you that, do you? Everywhere we are bombarded with information. I read recently, I mean, I have no way of knowing whether this is true or not, to be honest, but I read that over 100 billion emails are sent every day. 100 billion. And I think I get most of them. I don't know about you. It's chogging up my inbox. That's more than 10 times the population of the world. Do we really need that? I don't know. Each day, 5,000 new books are published. And the number of text messages this year will exceed, wait for it, 6 trillion. 6 trillion. How many noughts is that? Someone tell me. A lot. Far too many. 6 trillion text messages. If we take the year that Jesus was born as our starting point, roughly, we don't quite know exactly, but it took 1,500 years for all the knowledge in the world to double. 1,500 years for the knowledge to double. The next doubling of knowledge took 250 years. It doubled again in 150 years. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Now it's doubling every 12 months. No wonder I can't keep up. And we know, don't we? It doesn't take much to see that. Somebody I read as well, and again, this is all untested and unproven, but I mean, I'm reading some serious people here, not just reading any old Joe and Harry. If you happen to read the Times newspaper, they said, for 1 week, you will be exposed to more information than the average person living in the 1800s came across in their entire lifetime. We're being swamped by this tidal wave of information that pours in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The whole world is now live and in real time. Stories change every few minutes. You might watch a screen that's got a presenter with a story. He's reading the story or she's reading the story, and there's an image to the right and a sidebar to the left and a screen crawl along the top and another at the bottom. So you're following 5 different bits of information at the same time on the same screen. Now, I know that quite a few of you here will do your level best to avoid watching that kind of thing. But it happens, especially in sport, I've noticed. Don't know why. No wonder we're easily distracted. We look without seeing. We listen without hearing. We speak without understanding. We are wired up, tuned in, hyper-caffeinated, and yet we are sinking in this mess. It's the paradox of our time. We've learned how to make a living, but not how to live. We've added years to life, not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street to say hello to a neighbor that we don't know very well. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. I like that last one, actually. We've conquered outer space, not inner space. Everything we build is bigger and stronger and faster and larger, apart from all the stuff, the microchips and so on, which are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The engine of human progress hums right along. Satellites into orbit, radio waves to the stars, but inner space, that's another matter. We're not even close to conquering that. The human heart is as unruly as ever it was. And now, I want to be honest. I don't know about you. If you're honest with yourself, if I'm honest with myself, all know that the real battles of life, as we've been saying in this series, they're not out there. They're in here. They're inside. My greatest challenge, as Michael Jackson said, is the man in the mirror. Well, he sang it, actually. The man in the mirror, or the woman in the mirror. And when I talk about the human heart being unruly, I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about mine. What we are on the inside matters more than what happens on the outside. And that's where this little book of James is so real and so relevant to us, because it actually deals with these kind of nitty-gritty practicalities. And what we're going to find today is that words written 2,000 years ago are just as relevant to you and I. And they're so basic and so simple. And I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but I bet you struggle with it. Well, I do. Today. Why is the world not a kinder place? Why do we spend so much time tearing each other apart and bringing each other down? Why? It's the human heart, isn't it? These words that we're just about to see, it's only two verses again today, written to beleaguered, scattered, oppressed Jewish believers, they're barely hanging on to their faith. And it speaks to us today with amazing clarity. Here it is, verses 19 and 20, James chapter 1. And I didn't ask Dennis to read it because it wasn't really worth it, just two verses here. We can all read it for ourselves without too much trouble. My dear brothers and sisters, says James, writing to you and me as much as those first Jewish believers, take note of this. Are you taking notes, anyone? James says we should, at least if we're not writing. Well done, Chris. He's writing it down. Even if we're not writing it down. Let's log it, says James. This is important stuff. We need to remember this. Everyone, that's you and me, all of us, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That's pretty straightforward and simple stuff, isn't it? And it's not exactly rocket science. But, boy, does it challenge. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James answers the question, or asks the question, really, in a way, of you and me. And we've seen this before in the other things that we've been looking at. How are you going to respond when the pressure's on? How are you going to respond when life is tough and difficult, when you're in pain? How are you going to respond? Because that really shows up who we are. And this, again, is a thing that kind of gets to the heart, to my heart. Close attention to this answer. So simple, isn't it? Let's just do very quickly, because there's three things for us to look at. Everyone should be, one, quick to listen. Everyone should listen more. Everyone should listen more. Wisdom begins when we listen and talk less. And this sort of, James is quite clear that actually listening to one another, that's part of this, listening so that we're really hearing and not just imagining that we're understanding what someone else is saying. Really listening closely is important. But of course, for James, it all starts with listening to God, listening to what God's word is saying, because otherwise we let ourselves off the hook. But God's word challenges us to not do that, to not let ourselves off the hook and blame everybody else. We have to listen to what God has to say. First century, they didn't have all the advantages that we have. They didn't have printed copies of the New Testament. For that matter, they didn't have the New Testament at all. They had copies, handwritten, scribed copies of the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, but James is one of the first bits of the New Testament to get written, probably. So they didn't have all the letters of Paul. They weren't even in circulation yet, and they hadn't got round to writing the Gospels or the Book of Acts or the Book of Revelation. They didn't have a Bible app on a smartphone. They couldn't read it wherever they went. For the most part, hearing it meant meeting with other believers so they could pass on the scriptures to one another. Listening to the word being read and being taught. It meant hearing and memorizing and meditating on what you heard. But today, where's your nearest Bible? Look around. Some of you have got it on your lap, on the table, in your pocket. It's not difficult, is it? But perhaps the technology and the availability means we've got so used to ignoring it. I hope that's not true. The Lord challenged me when I was a youngster, because I was one of those slightly geeky teenagers who was into things. And one of the things I was into lots of things. One of the things I was into was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which came on radio in 1978, 79, when I was doing A-levels. And I've told you before, I'm sure, I've set to my English A-level homeworks to go home and listen to it. I had a very enlightened English teacher at that stage. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a radio program that became a book, which became a film. Well, it was a record as well in those days, an album and a vinyl album. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter, but it was one of those kind of culty things that lots of people like. And like Monty Python, or if you've got a particular band that you like or whatever, people like to know the words. I can still give you whole chunks of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy from memory. Isn't that sad? That is really very sad, isn't it? But that's what people do. They learn the lyrics and they sing along with the songs. They just hear it over and over, so they kind of repeat it and what have you. Or they do the parrot sketch from Monty Python, or whatever it is, word for word. I don't know what... there are some of you here that can do stuff like that, I know. Or maybe it's to be or not to be, that is the question, whether it is noble in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or take up arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep, and so on. Maybe it's a more highbrow. I don't know. But as a teenager, I know without a shadow of a doubt was God said to me, if you can do that, if you can do that for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or for this or that, then you ought to be able to do that with my word. You ought to be reading my word and repeating it so that you know it, so that it's in you, the way those words are in you. Yes, it's fun to talk about far out in the uncharted waters, the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow sun, and all that kind of stuff. It's great to be able to do that, but it means nothing. God's word is precious. God's word will change my life. God's word will sustain me. God's word will transform me. God's word will lead me to Jesus, the living word, because that's what it's about. It's not in and of itself just a special or particularly holy book. It's a book that takes us to Jesus every single moment, every single time. And God challenged me. I want to challenge all of us here that we need to listen to God, and we cannot do that if we are so distracted that we never spend any time with him through the word, through the Bible. When I look at my phone, I see tons of apps, and they're brimming with all this information that flows 24 hours a day. I've got news apps, music apps, video apps, message apps. We've got enough online stimulation to keep us occupied around the clock. In the old days, probably about 10 years ago, is that the old days? When you got on an aeroplane or a bus or something, you might actually talk to somebody, but now you don't need to, do you? You've got your little entertainment center right there in your hand. At the gate and on the plane, you see people with their heads down looking at their smartphones or talking to themselves. Listen, I want to ask you some questions. You have to ask yourself and find your own way through this. It's not for me to tell you how you engage with God through his word. Some of us can do that at different times of the day. You know, it's not a bad thing to get up and do it, but, you know, it's not the only time you can do it, and some people aren't so good in the morning. But here's the thing. I wonder how many of us actually read God's word before we check our Facebook page. It's not true for some of you. I know you, Facebook, you say. What is he talking about? This is this foreign language that people seem to speak these days. I know not anything of it. That's absolutely fine. But for lots of people, it's a challenge because that's the default. That's the go-to. That's the thing we do. We need to be connected. We need to know what's going on. Let me tell you, you can know what's going on in this world and be bombarded with the information and lose your soul. That's what the Bible says 2,000 years ago. So my challenge for me is that I don't do that, that I don't switch on to everything else before I switch on to God. And hear what he has to say. Technology is useless, even dangerous, if we're so busy and distracted that we're not quick to hear what God is saying, quick to listen to God. So that's listening more. What's the second thing? Second thing is that we should be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. You thought I've got lost there, didn't you? Nah, had you? Because, of course, I've got a problem here because I talk a lot. And I'm doing this. That's a bit hypocritical for a start, isn't it? Standing in front of us, spouting off. When will he shut up? Slow to speak, James 1, verse 19. Ecclesiastes 5 puts it this way. It says, don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on the earth, so let your words be few. It's hard to argue with that, isn't it? The problem is this. I'm not as smart as I think I am. And neither are you. I'm not as clever as I think I am. I've got to be careful here, haven't I? But neither are you. I'm not as wise as I think I am. And neither are you. Wisdom comes. We've already seen this. How are we going to be wise? James has covered this. It's back to Jesus, isn't it? It's back to knowing what Jesus has to say. How can we do that? We need to listen and we need to slow down and not speak. So quickly, there's a time to speak, yes, but there's a time to be silent. And most of us are pretty good at the first one and not so good at the second one. Proverbs 29, another proverb, helpful word about this. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? Says Proverbs 29. There is more hope for a fool than for them. Because, of course, whatever happens if we speak quickly, we often say things that later we regret. We say things without thinking. We snap back at people. Ill-considered, yeah, and what's in here, in the heart, the unruly heart, and it comes out and it gives us away. And we need to learn to control that. It happens in relationships all the time that people aren't really listening, but they're talking at one another. Ogden Nash's poem, some of you will have come across Ogden Nash's poem for people who are married. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup. Whenever you're wrong, admit it. Whenever you're right, shut up. It's so easy to destroy relationships of any kind with unkind words. And you know, I think again, and this is not meant to be an anti-technology tirade. Please understand, we live in this world. We need to understand the world. We need to use the world. But once again, the immediacy of being able to respond to people often encourages us to make a quick reply, which is not the best thing. Because on a messaging app or whatever, you can just do it. You know, we wouldn't have even thought about this 25 years ago. Because if you wanted to respond to people, unless they were right there with you or you were on a telephone conversation with them, it wasn't immediate. You had time to write it down and throw it away. But now, you know, we get something and we think, and there we've responded. We're quick. We're quick to speak, quick to respond. The advice is to wait, to think about it. You can delete a foolish comment, but you can't erase it from the internet. You can't take it back. Floats around in cyberspace. Do you know, I didn't realize this, and I heard this week. Was it this week or last week? When we talk about cyberspace, I think up there, don't you? It's always all over there. Well, it's mostly on cables under the ground and under the sea and things like that. That's where the cloud is. Sport it now. Clouds are up there. But that's where it all is. I'm sure you've heard this. Speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. You know, they used to say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a brave saying. It's great if you've got no emotions. It's not true. It's not true. The wounds that words leave last longer than sticks and stones. They break not bones, but hearts. So look, we've done the obvious. Quick to listen, slow to speak. And what? Slow, thirdly, slow to become angry. Let me just read a couple of different translations of this. Slow to become angry, slow to anger, slow to wrath. Don't get worked up into a rage so easily. Someone who should be slow to lose their temper. James isn't saying don't get angry at all. There are times when we need to get angry. How many of you yesterday listened to somebody who is not a British person coming from the United Nations to do a report on our country and pointing out at the levels of poverty in our nation? Did you get a bit angry? I hope you got a bit angry. Not because he'd come and done it, but because he's uncovered something that I think is awful and shameful, that we ought to be embarrassed about as a country. Now, I know there's big issues there, and you can't do it on your own, and I can't do it on our own, but we need to have a good sense of anger at injustices and things that aren't right. So James is not saying don't get angry, that's unrealistic. And it's also, James is very practical, we'll get angry for all the wrong reasons. You've probably done it this week, apart from one or two of you who are wonderful people who I know never get angry ever at all about anything. But look, it happens. There's no good pretending it doesn't. Most of us are clever enough to not let it happen when people are around and can see it too much, apart from the people we're closest to, and we somehow, that's all right. It doesn't matter if they see it. They're the ones who get it mostly, aren't they? The word here is talking about that kind of flash anger, that kind of arrogant anger, or that kind of prideful, ego-driven anger, that sense of rage. He's speaking of that kind of deep emotion which can sometimes be released like a volcano erupting. And he doesn't necessarily have to have someone else there for this to take place. It can eat away at us. If we feel wronged or slighted by something, or we haven't been treated well at work, or whatever it is,